All right, let's read a few verses as we warm up. All right, here's something from Third Hermes. Okay, this is Third Hermes Similitude. Okay, this has to do with the powerful gift of prayer. And this is what the angel, or the church, is explaining to Hermes. And she says here, "But they that are lazy and slow to pray, doubt to seek from the Lord, although the Lord be of such an extraordinary goodness, that without ceasing, he gives all things to them that ask of him." In fact, we'll be talking more about that today, about the joy of the Lord, and that he gives all things to them that ask of him. You, therefore, who are strengthened by the venerable messenger and have received such a powerful gift of prayer, seeing you're not slothful, why do you not now ask understanding of the Lord and receive it? And, of course, that's applicable for us today, asking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding from the Lord, and receive it. As you're reflecting upon your prayers, okay, knowing that you're praying that prayer of faith. Here's another one from Third Hermes' Similitude, chapter 6, verse 5. "Whosoever therefore you be that repent, cast away from you the naughtiness of the present world. Put on all virtue," and we'll be talking more about that, "and righteousness. So shall you be able to keep these commands, and not sin from henceforth any more." Okay, so we know the tokens are provided for us to take on Christ's image. And let's read something now from 2 Enoch. All right, from 2 Enoch here. Let's see what Brother Enoch has to say here, okay, in his second writing here. All right, well, we'll be talking about here the delightful oil before the bell rings. Got a few minutes here. The delightful oil. "Now the Lord said to Michael, go and extract Enoch from his earthly clothing." Of course, that's very close or very similar to the rapture, okay, as we're extracted from this dimension, but we're also put into a power to ascend to the seventh heaven. We have to have that power for transition and transportation. You need that power. "So the Lord said to Michael, go and extract Enoch from his earthly clothing and anoint him with my delightful oil." And that's what the Lord calls that anointing, the delightful oil. And which, of course, we are covered in the delightful oil. The oil is poured over the head, as also Moses poured oil over Aaron. By pouring the oil over him, it was as if this was his baptism, being immersed within the orb of this anointing. And that's what we are. We're immersed in the anointing of Christ. Immersed in the anointing of Christ, we take on that likeness. We take on the likeness of the power. "So the Lord said to Michael, go and extract Enoch from his earthly clothing and anoint him with my delightful oil and put him into the clothes of my glory." Oh, I love that one. "Put him into the clothes of my glory." And we'll be doing the same thing. He'll be doing the same thing with us, putting us into the clothes of his glory. All right, here's something. Also from 2 Enoch, chapter 24. This is from the Lost Books, about the mysteries of God. Enoch is receiving a particular instruction right here, and we thank the Lord for this particular instruction because it assists us in understanding Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and connecting that with Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, where it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth is without form and void." Okay, and this right here is a filler, what it means that the Spirit of the Lord selected a particular expression of this creation and put it within a certain premises there, but leaving out the whole volume. Okay, so we like selected a verse out of the Bible or selected a particular event for the purpose of presenting to Moses this testimony without going in the great detail of it. Okay, and this is what Enoch is seeing right here. So the angel Verviel dictates for 60 days nonstop to Enoch. And of course, Enoch this time writes 366 books. We see that in 2 Enoch chapter 23. Now, that's a lot of writing, a lot of dictation. So for 60 days, like Moses was up in the mount, 40 days back to back, so it's a total of 80 days, where he was sustained in the light of God and receiving these commandments and also the pattern for the temple. Moses received the design of what the tabernacle would look like and everything that was going to be put within it, the furniture of the tabernacle. Like the blueprint, he received rolls of blueprint, which, of course, Bezaleel and Aholiab, and their wisdom, which God provided for them by the angel, which attended to their power, in order to construct these tokens. Let's go on here. The Lord summoned me, as Enoch is saying here, and the Lord summoned me and said to me, Enoch, sit down on my left with Gabriel. And I bowed down to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to me, Enoch, beloved, all you see, all things that are standing finished, I tell you, even before the very beginning, all that I created from non-being and visible, things from invisible. And he goes on to explain, hear, Enoch, take these my words, for not to my angels have I told my secret. And I thought that was interesting, that the Lord reserved this revelation for his stewardship. And the angels were attending upon this knowledge. And by attending upon this knowledge, they were responsible to confirm and give witness to this. And that's what they're doing today. The revelations which were received in the Father's bosom are confirmed by the angels in their presence in this dimension today, in dreams and in visions. So he goes, here, Enoch, and take in these my words, for not to my angels have I told my secret, and I have not told them their rise, nor my endless realm, nor have they understood my creating, which I tell you today. For before all things were visible, I alone used to go about in the invisible things, like the sun from the east to the west and from the west to the east. And the invisible has to do with that dimension, the dimension of our Father, where everything was pre-created. It was put within a design and a form which would go from the invisible to the visible. That's where we were at. We were in the invisible before we came into the visible. So everything was designed within this power, and the power was with the power of God. God is that power. That's why Jesus is called the wisdom and the power of God, because he directs everything by that influence and by that force called the effectual working. All right, let's go on here. But even the Son has peace in itself. Well, I found no peace. This is what God is saying. The peace is found within completion. So that's why we are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power. And we'll be talking more about that. We are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power. That's our joy. Because I was creating all things, and I conceived the thought of placing foundations and of creating visible creation. Well, let's get started here. Those just coming in, we read a few verses there out of Hermas, Third Hermas, and also out of Second Enoch. And now we're going to read some writings here to the Apostle Paul. We go back into Thessalonians here today. And in Thessalonians, we'll pick up where we left off. Okay, in essence, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we'll pick up around verse 11 here. Last week, we talked about the true faith, because true faith is birthed in the fellowship of his name. We talked about that. The token seed begins with stewardship. The token seed begins with stewardship. And, of course, within that planting is the joy of the Lord. Now we're going to verse 11 right here. As you know how we exhorted, comforted, and charged. Might want to highlight those three things here. Exhorted, comforted, and charged. Okay, in other words, you witness this process in us. Our instruction, of course, was with warning, so we exhorted them. And comforted, that's with care to correct. That's to correct from any error in your charity. So we exhorted, comforted, and charged. By this pattern, the apostles, now we'll be reading about this in 1 John, which Chief Elder John brings out there in chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he talks about that, which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now we're seeing this here. We are handling these powers. Okay, we're handling these powers. This is the word of life. Because the power of God is our life. Okay, so he says, as you know how we exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father does his children. With Paul saying, this we did equally to each of you, as a role model to nurture you, as a father does his children, as a role model to nurture you as a family. And our Father views us as these precious stones, which Chief Elder Peter brings out, okay, as concerning being precious stones, a holy priesthood, a royal nation. Our adoption is by this power. Our adoption is by this power, and this power is the effectual working, which means it is a force of change. The power is a force of change. We take on the image of the power. So therefore, we walk in the likeness of Christ. We take on the image of the power. The power that dwells within us is the image we take on. Just look at a deer for a minute. Okay, the deer takes on the image of its birthing, of its power. Or a rabbit. A rabbit is only a rabbit because it takes on the image of the power, okay, that possessed the womb. It takes on the image of that power. And we take on the image of Christ as he bestows upon us these gifts. Okay, these gifts are a mirror and a reflection of its giver. Okay, and we mirror him. Okay, we mirror him. When we mirror him, this is what we see in one another, and this is the bonding charity which we build with. Okay, that we will walk worthy. So I like the word walk there, because the walk has to do with this witness. And this witness, this is what he talks about here in chapter 2, verse 5, concerning God as witness, that we will walk worthy of God. In other words, by consenting to these terms, these commandments, we're consenting to these commandments. The commandment is an ordered activity. We consent to this by yielding to grace. When we yield to grace, it is evident because our faith is seen. When our faith is seen, we're also taking on this image, the substance of things hoped for. We're taking on this image, this purpose. This is the plan of God, that we would walk worthy of God. These are things which we embrace in our priesthood, that we walk worthy of God, as Moses poured the anointing oil over Aaron. Okay, by this point of contact, priesthood and stewardship, the anointing oil was that power of joining. And God also put the power of joining us to him by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this baptism he poured over us, that he put this power within us to attend our understanding, okay, and also to cleanse the conscience and to purify the heart by faith in Jesus Christ, that we will walk worthy of God who has called you into his kingdom. I like the word kingdom there. In other words, our election is a selection. Our election is a selection out of a whole, like taking a bite out of an apple. Okay, when you take a bite out of an apple or a slice from an orange, that is an election, okay, or a selecting. You're selecting something. And so the Lord removed us from the kingdom of darkness by the selection of power. We consented. And by the selection of power is also a point of adoption. That by this point of adoption would be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're being prepared for something. Okay, we're being prepared for something by this power of adoption. We're taking on his image. We're taking on his likeness. We're taking on his perception. We're taking on his habit. We're taking on his character. Okay, by faith. Faith is the character of God. Okay, and love is that habit. Okay, we love one another by faith in Jesus Christ. That you would walk worthy of God there, who has called us to a kingdom. We'll talk more about that. And glory. I like the word glory there. Okay, so we see the word glory right there. This is the total population of his house to share the total power of his bosom. The total power of his bosom. That's our return. We're coming full cycle. This is how he begins his epistles. And the apostles begin their epistles in regarding these things. Okay, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's showing its origin, its process by this point of adoption. The point of adoption, that power that seals our faith. He's sealing our faith for the praise of the glory of his grace, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out again in Ephesians chapter 1, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, by this point of adoption, we have redemption of our souls. That we will walk worthy of God who has called us to his kingdom and glory. And for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Okay, that is with this goal in mind, with this goal in mind. He's governing our destiny. This is his fire charity. He's governing our destiny by this fire charity, which we're walking worthy by this fire charity. And for this cause also thank we God through this form of reciprocation. We're showing gratitude, great gratitude, without ceasing, as concerning daily at all times, unceasingly, daily and at all times. We're reciprocating and we're also weighing. Because that you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works in you also. It works also in you that believe. Here's the word effectually again. The Apostle Paul brings it out in Ephesians. The effectual working is that power, that which means you're putting your foot to the gas. When you press the gas pedal of the car, you have mobility. And when you're turning the key, the car comes on, of course, and you put it within gear and you press upon the gas, okay, and you have mobility. That's effectual. Okay, effectual is like kinetic energy. Okay, kinetic energy, it builds a power. Okay, it builds a power. Your mobility builds with this power. All right? So he goes here, but as it is in truth. Okay, these are the facts which are consistent with his character, purpose, and plan. Okay, this is the sum of his name. The sum of his name is in his power, which bears his image, character, purpose, and plan. What he says, what he does, and its, final product. What he says, what he does, and the final product. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, that which our Father, in his character, now his character doesn't change, okay, but his covenants do change. His covenants changed from Noah, or from Enoch. Now, Noah functioned according to what his grandfather taught him there, but Enoch. Right, he brought that tradition to the other side of the flood, which also Abraham adapted to. Okay, he accepted it and offering sacrifices until the Lord introduced another portion. By introducing another portion, it progressed to a certain point, and then Moses took over, which provided also a tabernacle and special vestments and the furniture of the tabernacle, from the altar of incense, the altar of sacrifice, and also the Ark of the Covenant, and the table of showbread, and also the bath. Everything was included. Fire and water was included, which has to do with the bath. The bath is the water, the altar is the fire. So we see that Jesus Christ joined these two together in himself when he came in the flesh. The flesh has to do with the water, and the fire has to do with the soul. Jesus Christ, that which came in the flesh. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. But as it is in truth here, okay, so we receive these tidings, the tidings of his fullness, the tidings of his fullness. This knowledge was necessary for us to cooperate with him. Without the rule book, we don't know how to play the game. It's the same thing buying a new board game. You see, like about 50 years ago, Monopoly. Okay, Monopoly came out, and you had to read the instructions on how to play the game. Okay, the game Monopoly, how much each partner there contributes to, and the token that you're using to go around the board with. Okay, you got to know the rules in order to participate. Now, the false religious system, not understanding what the rules are, they merely play the game in their ignorance. In other words, there's no points that show any kind of a progression. Okay, points of progression are necessary in order to find out who the winner is. Who has the most money at the end of the game in Monopoly? Okay, is the winner. And so God gives us these tokens for the purpose of our progression, okay, knowing that we have in heaven, okay, treasures. Okay, these are powers. These treasures are powers. These powers attend to our, okay, attend to our needs. Okay, they attend to the things which we want to progress with. Okay, gaining skills. Okay, you go to college, you gain certain skills, or certain schools, trade schools. Okay, to gain certain skills. Okay, and they give you a token. Okay, that identifies the progress. Okay, that you completed the progress of this. And this token is a key for the purpose of opening doors for you. In other words, they would not be provided for you because you didn't have the key. Okay, or the diploma. Okay, the token or the power. And the same thing in God's kingdom. Okay, the grace of God is provided for us in order for us to gain these experiences. And by this knowledge which we have received, which we have heard and we received, we're able to mark our progress by these things. Okay, and so God gives you a token, a key. So he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Okay, he has the key of David. Okay, in other words, he is the officiating official, okay, that is officiating over everything. It's like your graduation. He's giving you the diploma, the doctor. Okay, they provided the opportunity, the knowledge, the textbooks, Okay, the craftsman, whatever it is that you're going into, whether it be engine repair, okay, or be in the areas of finance. Okay, you're learning a language. You're learning a skill. Okay, whether it be with your hands or with your head, there is a language and a skill that goes with it. God's kingdom is the same way. Adamites have this design within their conscience. Now, the animal kingdom does not bear that design in their conscience. Okay, they're not able to project with their imagination at all. Neither do they have a conscience. They have a soul. Okay, but they don't have a conscience. They don't have that added power of the imagination or the aspiration or the principle. Not in that manner, not in that power. Okay, whereas Adamites do, being created in his likeness and his image. Image and likeness. There we see in the book of Genesis. This is a living witness of God's presence and existence in the heavenlies. We have that record with that's inscribed within our conscience. The conscience of every Adamite has that for the purpose of progression. Okay, to go beyond your present needs, to go beyond your the present station, to progress. Okay, in that manner. You progress for perfection. Okay? And we see this in God's kingdom, progression for perfection. Okay? And we are perfect in him, which means we show the gratitude of our thanksgiving, okay, through this form, these forms of tokens, which mark our progression. We're growing in grace. Of course, the Apostle Paul, all the apostles bring that out in their epistles concerning grow in grace. Grace, mercy, peace be multiplied into. We're growing in these powers. We're growing by these gifts. Okay, well, let's go on here. We're still in verse 13. Okay, so that word which received, the tidings which the Thessalonians received was beneficial as a witness of God's existence and his direct involvement. Okay, his existence and direct involvement. God gives testimony of his existence concerning the number of the stars of the sky, all the phenomena that exist within this world, the expanse and horizons of the oceans, the numerous creatures that exist within each dimension, whether it be dimensions of the air, dimensions of the water, dimensions of the earth, okay, and heaven and earth and under the earth. Okay, all these unique powers exist. They give evidence of his and testimony to him. But we have the word of God inscribed within us. We bear the testimony of Christ. We bear the tokens of his adoption, which the world cannot understand, nor will it receive. Okay, so now we're going to jump from here. We're going to go to the Gospel of John, because all the tokens of his covenant are to profit the soul. All the tokens of the covenant are to profit the soul, which has to do with his glory and joy. And we're going to turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Okay, so turn over to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. We're going to start on the Gospel of John 16, all right, with around verse 22. And Jesus speaking here says, And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man takes from you. Okay, and of course, you know what words that we're pointing out right here, rejoice and joy. So pick up your highlighter and highlight the word rejoice and joy. Okay, so when we talk about rejoicing here, we're talking about is considering there's a bonding factor for this expected or this expectation, completed expectation, that and your joy no man takes from you. So the anointing will bring this recall, and with a pure conscience behold the Father's face, and also the woman that bears the child. And the woman that bears the child, which has to do with the church. We bear these things within us, a testimony, treasures. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Presently, in the flesh, we live in a contradiction of these waters. And that's what Jesus is bringing out here. In the flesh, as I said to you, in the bosom, what Jesus is bringing out to them. And you now, therefore, have sorrow. That is because you're in a restricted dimension. You're in a restricted dimension. Okay, that's surrounded and full of contradiction. Contradiction. There's contrariness to your design. Okay, as a fish was not designed to live or exist outside of its appointed environment. Okay, our design was the Father's bosom of light, and yet we are put into a vessel of restriction in the dimension of these waters in the darkest, in the darkest of the heavens. The darkest, the lowest of the heavens. Because the earth in its creation, and God's by God's wisdom, is in the lowest of the heavens and the darkest of the heavens. And the prince, which is the priesthood of Satan, okay, dominates the dimension of darkness. But the priesthood of Satan does not dominate the kingdom of light. And we can see that the challenges of that and Jesus' temptations was to submit to Satan's priesthood. Satan's priesthood was going to provide Jesus with tokens. Okay, I'll give you all these things. I will provide the tokens for your, okay, for your honor, for your aspiration, okay, for your imagination, so that you, by my tokens, can progress and prosper to the honor and flattery of man. And Jesus did not accept the priesthood of Satan. That's why Jesus says, you shall live by every word of God. The provision of the kingdom of light is the priesthood that you're supposed to be joined to. Okay, as Moses and Aaron were joined together, they had the stewardship and the priesthood. The sun and the moon cooperate with each other. The sun and the moon cooperate with each other. Okay, which, of course, we can see is going to be an open manifestation at the time of the rapture, when the sun turns the darkness and the moon into dripping blood. Okay, it shows the absence of the priesthood of the kingdom of darkness. The sun in this darkness shows the priesthood, that's Satan. The moon turning in blood, okay, shows the stewardship of death. Okay, and Satan ruled through the stewardship of death. Okay, the rulers of this world, the stewardship of death. Okay, their provision is for the purpose of the plundering. Their provision are to plunder. Okay, we see this in all the kingdoms of the world. Their position is to plunder. Okay, and the beast, the Antichrist, okay, is the very crown. He's the very crowning factor and power, okay, of this influence and be in full manifestation, okay, of his subjects, okay, which are Zanamites. Well, let's go on here before we start talking about the end times. Okay, so I like the word joy there in verse 22. Okay, this has to do again with the pure conscience. Okay, and with a pure conscience, we're joining the Father, okay, as Eve was given to Adam, and as the church is given to Christ. The joy here he's talking about are these treasures where the thief cannot steal. Now, of course, we see this in Matthew chapter 6. Okay, you can make a note on that. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 6, but you can put a marker here, okay, in John, because we'll come back just momentarily. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus brings this out. It's concerning these tokens, where he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. See, these are the tokens of death. The kingdom of darkness. Okay, the priesthood of Satan. I mean, Satan, if Satan is your priesthood, then death is your reward. If Jesus is your priesthood, then life is your reward. So lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, okay, where death passes over all things and it loses value. He says here, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. They see the word thief there. And that's the titles that Jesus gave to the Satan, isn't he? When he says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. And he's talking about the priesthood of Satan and the tokens of death. All the tokens of death attend upon these powers. Okay, that's the powers of that kingdom. Demons, evil angels, or rust does not corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. These things bear the variables, okay, the variables of life. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And so Jesus is saying there, remember your house in heaven, these powers and gifts to serve your pleasures when you enter life. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, nor where thieves break through nor steal. Okay, for death can't express its powers in the light. For where your treasure is, that's your power source of knowledge, there will your heart be also. That means your soul will rest in this light as your God. This is where your peace is. The light of the body is the eye, he says, because the door of the soul is the gate of the knowledge. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, which means that is if your eye or your hope be in truth with no aspiration, then your whole body should be full of light. Your joy is here, because my tokens are your crown of peace. What Jesus is saying to him, my tokens is your crown of peace. Okay, now let's go back now to John chapter 16. Okay, verse 22. Now, in that day shall ask me nothing. Now, remember, as we were reading there in the book of Hermas, how the angel of the church was instructing Hermas, Apostle Hermas, regarding this form of prayer. Okay, prayer is a very powerful tool. Okay, and being such a powerful tool, if Adamites understood its value, they would embrace it more aggressively. Okay, the power of prayer. If you can understand its power, knowing that every petition, petition that you make in faith, okay, God answers, okay, with his joy. And this is what Jesus is going to bring out. Okay, and in that day, you shall ask me nothing. That is, when I birth this child within you, okay, then you're going to understand this labor. So in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, as now and forever, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, which has to do with this kingdom covenant, he will give it to you. But this word bears my likeness, which is now in your conscience. What he's saying, my word, this word bears my likeness, which is now in your conscience. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Do you see the connection here? Okay, why are we asking? What are we petitioning? Tokens of his visitation. Okay, tokens of service. Okay, because here we can see, even in the book of Revelation, these powers are servants to serve us. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy, there's the word joy again, may be full. Because he's saying, I possess all the tokens which this child represents for you. I will build upon the stone of Revelation. Okay, I'll build upon the stone of Revelation, that your joy may be full. See, the word full right there has to do with a form of completion and overflowing. Okay, nothing lacking, that your joy may be full. Nothing lacking, because you are complete in him. You're complete in him, which is head of all principality and power. Okay, now let's go to John 15. Let's turn from John chapter 16. Let's turn a few pages over here to John 15. Now, here, and we're going to start with verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified. See the word glorified. Word glorified has to do with from one point to another point of progression. Glorified. From one point to another point of progression. It's like a watermark. They use certain watermarks, okay, during high tide, low tide. Okay, so when it's low tide, you can see the watermark, which is the lowest point. It's a low tide. Okay, then as the tide comes in, you can see that the watermark from that low tide begins to rise up to the higher part, or higher mark. Okay, that's a progression. And of course, as the clock is moving forward there, as time is progressing, the watermark is higher and higher and higher. Okay, so are those which are laboring in the kingdom of God. Okay, when you're using the tokens of Christ, the watermark is progressing. You're profiting in him. And this is what Chief Elder John brings out in 3 John 1:2, that you may prosper and be in health, even if your soul prospers. Okay, in other words, it is in these powers, okay, whereas you have you possess that goodness. He possesses goodness in these powers. Here is my Father glorified, so you're progressing and increasing, that you bear much fruit. That's self-explanatory, isn't it? Bear much fruit. So shall be my disciples. This is the mark that my children bear. See, that labor at the altar, those that labor at the altar bear many tokens. And God gives us tokens. Your level one dreams is a token. Okay, and you increase by these tokens. The watermark that you received last year is different than the watermark that you're presently at. And that's profiting. Okay, you're increasing with the increase of God. That's good. That's a healthy church. But if the watermark is still sustained today as it was years ago, that is not good. Okay, that's not good. You're not increasing in the knowledge of God. And the evidence of that is seen within the understanding. You can't master the understanding. You can't increase in knowledge and ignorance. These power tokens for the work of regeneration equals that which is the renewing of the mind. The true renewing of the mind has to do with the maturity of your perception. You're no longer viewing God's kingdom as little children, but you're viewing his kingdom as fathers. And this is what Chief Elder John brings out in his epistle in 1 John. Do I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake? That's the first point of repentance, okay, illumination for repentance. And then he goes on and progresses to that young men. I write to you, young men, because you have known the Father, written you Father's gifts, you've known him that's from the beginning. So you see the progression in this. Okay, the watermark continues to grow year after year. So that the more that you sow to righteousness in your prayer time and your charity, okay, also the more you grow in your understanding. You cannot feign these things. You can't fake it, because it will be revealed. And of course, we can see the Apostle Father John brings that out when he says, "For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made manifest that they're not all of us." The manifestation is evident of feigned faith. Feigned faith, which has to do with they desire good works. They want to be saved and desire good works, but yet they spend their time with leisure. Okay, they spend their time with leisure. They're constantly distracted, okay, into things that are unprofitable for the soul. And after time, you can see that there's no progression there. The watermark hasn't changed. Okay, that doesn't please the Father. Okay, the Father is pleased as this progression, okay, increases. By the increase of this progression, you're increasing with the increase of God. So the more you sow, the more you grow. So here is my Father glorified. If you want to know what pleases the Father, because you're in the form of the flesh in a dark dimension, how can you please a God who is light and spirit if you're in a dimension of darkness and ignorance and corruption and flesh? Okay, faith. Is faith, for without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God, he that will attend to the altar, must believe that he is, which means receiving these commandments, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we see this progression throughout all the scriptures. Okay, the revelation of God continues to progress and preserves the righteous. Hear my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, that's with these gifts of joy, for your joy. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you, in the same joy. Hey, Jesus received tokens from his Father. The angel of the Lord attended upon his record. Beginning from John's baptism to his ascension, must one be a witness. And we are witnesses of his resurrection. We are witnesses of his ascension. Hey, how are we witnesses of these things, seeing it's been 2,000 years ago? Okay, we are witnesses of these things because we bear that to testimony within us. This is what Chief Elder Peter was bringing out. If one is going to be joined to us, he must accept this testimony. Beginning from John's baptism unto his ascension, must one be a witness. This is the attending power and confession and confirmation of his faith. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, continuing my love. That is continue, for by this power, you have the true unity and bond of what is one body. This the sinners cannot do with feigned charity. You can't feign your charity. Feigned charity is like you could say like sand. Sand is saltless. Feigned charity is saltless, which means it's just sand. So those that build with saltless charity feign their faith. Their souls are empty. Their understanding is void. They're not progressing. That's not good. They're not progressing. And it begins, your progression begins with humbling the grace. The humbling grace has to do with you're accepting the terms. You're accepting these terms. Okay, but as long as you're fence walking, which means you're of doubtful nature, being in doubtful nature, you become double-minded, which means you're constantly distracted. Being double-minded, and double-mindedness always leads to sedition. Okay? You begin to argue perceptions. Begin to argue perceptions. Okay, when Judas Iscariot argued perceptions, it shows that he was double-minded. He accepted certain things, but yet he wanted that be in a position of control. He wanted the outcome to favor his imagination. It didn't work that way. Okay, now let's go to verse 10 here. If you keep my commandments by this ordered activity, you shall abide in my love. That means remain at the altar. Even as I kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love. That means I have followed the divine pattern in word and deed, okay, which was sealed in the Father's heart to be made known to you by myself as I promise. And this is what Jesus is bringing out. As I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See the word love there. I abide in his love. Okay, the power tokens I have used. Jesus brings out verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. There's the word again, joy. Hide the word joy there. These things, When he's talking about these things, he's talking about the government. Okay, the government, the truth and the spirit, gifts, callings, grace of God, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, everything. Okay, in conclusion, everything that you have seen and heard in me, do. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. This is the intended end product, okay, of my record. An intended product of my record will be seen in you, okay, in you, apart from any aspiration of man. So these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Okay, not in part, not in types and shadows, but Jesus saying, but by my perfection and bonding. And this is what the church is doing today. This is what you're doing today. Now, the false religious system, as the earthly church, cannot achieve this profit, nor bonding, nor unity. Though they feign it, they can feign it. Every denomination can feign certain portions of unity and conformity, even as the kingdom of darkness. Even the kingdom of darkness, okay, has its certain tokens of bonding. And the tokens of bonding center around the aspiration and the imagination, and of course Satan's promises. Okay, whatever Satan has promised his dominions, okay, and his principalities and powers there, whatever he promises them, okay, all their activity resolves around that to achieve that goal. Okay, we can see that they become more aggressive. Okay, they become more aggressive to plunder people from God's kingdom and to keep them prisoner or keep them in the chains of darkness and ignorance. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, which means that which we have received is equal to its giver. That which we have received is equal to its giver. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. That means having all things. This is my commandment, and this is the order of activity. This order of activity must be expressed in this manner of charity. This is my commandment, that you love one another, because charity will be the result of my anointing. The anointing will carry forth this tradition and produce this character and provide these habits, the habits of your prayer, the habits of your charity, the habits of tokens of bonding. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Another way to put this is we bond and mate by this power. Okay, so the text points to this power, but doesn't replace the power. That's what Jesus is saying. The scriptures bear this out, but the scriptures do not produce it. The anointing produces it. Okay, it's like reading a book about birth. Okay, reading a book about birth doesn't produce the baby. Okay, we know there's a certain process involved in order to produce that product. So Jesus is bringing this to their attention. Okay, for my joy to be birthed within you, you have to work with the anointing. The text points to this, but the text cannot provide, okay, the substance nor the environment for its reality. Okay, that's why I call them types and shadows. Okay, people that are Bible-centered or Bible-centric, it's a colorful word that describes those which are saying that we're building our confidence on the interpretation of Scripture only, Bible-centric. But that's not the covenant. The covenant isn't being Bible-centric. The covenant is laboring with the anointing. The Bible points to that. The scriptures, which we embrace and are inspired by God, points to the activity of it. This is what Jesus was saying in the very beginning. They that worship him must worship him in spirit. Okay, they have to worship him by the anointing. You have to use the tokens which I provide for you. Okay, the stewardship provides the knowledge and points in this direction. Okay, also teaches you the environment that's favorable for this. That has to do with being joined to him, as a branch of the divine. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, equal exchange. Greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Because this power exists not in the flesh, okay, but Jesus is saying, but in me. Greater love is no man than this, the man lay down his life for his friends. What Jesus is saying, this power exists not in the flesh or in the text, but in me, the person, which issues this power. To receive it, one must put aside one's own will, okay, aspiration. That has to do with the light of the letter. Okay, the light of the letter must grow dim for the true light of the Word of God to be seen. Okay, in order to see that, we're going to look at this, or we're going to look at something here. I'm going to read some notes here that I have in Luke chapter 2. Okay, which has to do with the many confirmations Mary received, which are effectual. In other words, they're living tokens. Okay, so I'm just going to turn there, Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, you can read about many confirmations. Okay, the joy to be full of glory. The joy to be full of glory. These are the confirmations, the angel that appeared to Mary. Okay, and I got 7 down here. The angel that appeared to Mary, then the angel that appeared to Joseph in the dream, okay, Elizabeth's confirmation, the shepherd's confirmation, the wise man's confirmation, Simon's confirmation, the Anna's confirmation. Okay, that's her joy was full, you see. Okay, this is a rolling revelation from the very beginning. That which is in you is the Son of God. The first seed was given to Mary, okay, by the announcement of the angel, Gabriel, and appearing to her. Okay, it was a rolling revelation. From there, it progressed after a while. Okay, it progressed with Joseph. It progressed also with, we can see all these other players here. These other players, Elizabeth and the shepherds, the wise men, okay, and also in the temple, Simon and Anna. You see the numerous confirmations. Now let's turn from there, let's turn to 1 Peter. And we know that Peter and John, okay, wrote about these things. They testify to these things. All right, we are kept by the power of God. So let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, and that's in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. We'll read a few verses here. You who are kept by the power of God. So I like the word power of God. Okay, these are the tokens. You are kept, preserved by these power tokens. Okay, these power tokens are your servants. Okay, these servants, okay, provided a substance for your priesthood. Okay, charity. Okay, grace provided, grace, which also serves us, okay, is a power token, okay, which also worked with this knowledge for your what? Your sacrifice. Your sacrifice of charity is a result of the servitude, okay, of the Spirit. So we humble ourselves to the Spirit. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Okay, you consenters. You consenters are those who walk by faith will be served by these love gifts. Okay, you can call them love gifts. The anointing, okay, is a love gift. Okay, why is it a love gift? Because it's consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. It represents Him. He's invisible. He's invisible, so He represents Himself to you, okay, in dreams and in visions, these tokens, words of knowledge. The Apostle Paul brings it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, concerning the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, okay, tokens. Okay, he talks about also miracles, healings, gifts of discernment. Okay, he brings out the which has to do with the 9 gifts there. Prayer, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Okay, these 9 powers, okay, which he's provided for us. They are not to replace the covenant, they work in the covenant. Now the false religious system isolates the token from the covenant. When you isolate the token from the covenant, you're stealing from the altar. When you steal from the altar, you're burying the treasure under your tent, as Achan did. We know what happened to him. Okay, his zeal, okay, was his death warrant. Achan's zeal was death warrant, and it affected his whole family. It brought a great curse upon him. Okay, called the Valley of Achor, okay, where he was also stoned, him and his whole family. All right, let's go back here in verse 5. You were kept by the power of God through faith. Okay, which has to do with we're keeping His commandments. We're keeping His commandments because we are subjecting ourselves to the revelation. Okay, this is what we're reflecting. You who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, which has to do with the preservation of your soul, ready to be revealed in the last time, which God will manifest more so in the end times. Okay, and that's even to openly display this power within you as a sign of His true witness, opposed to the protester of His grace, the hypocrite. Wherein this fire charity here, this power, this fire charity, wherein you rejoice. Because you build with this goal in mind in these waters. Though you're restricted in this form of the flesh, okay, yet God will transform you by another power when He pours His Spirit over you for the rapture. Okay, right now you're being preserved by this power. Okay, wherein you greatly rejoice in building and bonding now for the season, present season. Okay, because though we're in this dimension of the waters, we're constantly facing change upon change upon change upon change. Change afflicts. This dimension bears the powers of all these variables, which do not exist in the power of light. There's no variables with God, because God is at constant. He is at constant. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness, because you're dying to these powers. You're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Because you can feel the effects of dying by the restrictions of his power, from feeding the imagination to staying justified in the wrong season. Okay, this is what you feel. Okay, and of course, the false religious system calls it the valley experience. Okay, we don't go through a valley experience, okay? Because what you're doing right here is that you're continuing on through this process. Okay, you're progressing. The watermark's moving up. It's not moving up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's a false unit of measure which the false religious system uses in order to justify their ignorance. Okay, they're justifying their ignorance by the high-low watermark. The high-low watermark, but it doesn't go anywhere. It just goes lower, lower, and lower. And so the lower it goes, they boast of the higher time. Says, well, when I first became a Christian, they begin to look at that point of illumination as the high watermark. That illumination is not your high watermark. That is the point of beginning, not the conclusion of your work. Okay, that's not the conclusion of your labor. That's the beginning of your labor. But those of the false ministers, look at the lowest mark as the highest watermark, because that's the valley they're living in, the valley of death. Okay, and that's why he calls it through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, verse 7, the appointed contradictions and judging your worth, which is a mystery to the logic, yet God sets value in, he sets the value in you by this purging of the fire, in the state of your weakness, the flesh. Okay, the flesh is the lowest state of your weakness. Okay, that's why Satan tempted Jesus. Okay, God put himself into a state of subjection, weakness, vulnerability, for the purpose of providing a record for us in our vulnerability, to supersede this by the power of the Spirit. We live by what? The power of his resurrection. Okay, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than a gold. So we place value on the spiritual things, the invisible kingdom. More precious than gold because gold perishes. But even gold itself goes through process of increasing its value of fire. Though it be found tried by fire. Gold being purified increases its value. And we being purified by faith in Jesus Christ increase our value under what? Might be found. The word found right there, now being declared innocent by this baptism of knowledge and the anointing which attends. But now the anointing weighs the value of your faith. Might be found under praise. Okay, this is the concluding factor which progresses. It doesn't isolate itself. It doesn't stagnate. It progresses, it grows, it increases. Might be found in praise. Highlight these three things here: praise, honor, and glory. Okay, praise, honor, glory. Glory, which means the virtue of his anointing, makes you holy, and as holy ones to increase his house as he comes to reward you. So unto praise, honor, and glory, at the appearing of Jesus Christ when he visits you, whom having not seen, he stands invisible to the flesh. Okay, having no glitter there, he stands invisible to the flesh. Yet you love him, you made to build with his knowledge. And whom thou you see him not, yet that means you don't see him physically, yet believing, you embracing this expectation. You rejoice with joy, seeing the word joy there, unspeakable, hide the word joy. We're building and bonding towards this goal, of his fullness. We're building with the tokens of his fullness. Unspeakable. It can't be articulated in even human words. This miracle which we experience as we receive many gifts of the power that will preserve your soul. It's joy unspeakable. It can't be articulated in the language of one's logic. That's why we pray in the Spirit. We pray in tongues. We are articulating it in the language of the Spirit, in the language of God's kingdom. And because we're receiving of that fullness, we pray in tongues. And by this, we're showing our cooperation. Receiving the end of your faith, which has to do with the hope is now seen, in this form of substance of our conversation is a substance that we're looking at, your conversation of faith. Receiving the end of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your souls, the present and the future. Deliverance and your preservation, the salvation of your souls. For these gifts preserve your soul, You see, preserving it in innocence. Innocence of faith and of a pure conscience. Okay, so get your sacrifices ready. Okay, I'm going to jump over here now to 1 John chapter 1. We see the bonding factor of this fellowship. The bonding factor is fellowship is the anointing. The life is manifested. We see this in verse 2, which I touched on earlier. The life was manifested and we have seen it. That which was invisible is visible. How is this possible? How can an invisible God be seen in a visible form? By your charity. A substance. Your charity substance is proof of the divine finger writing in you his long commandments in your mind and in your heart. Regeneration and renewing the mind. Okay, the impact of this grace is effectual. It's a power. This power needs to be understood. That's where the government comes in. Okay, the calling of the apostolic character begins to unfold. Okay, these experiences, you begin to understand what is this all about. For the life is manifested, and we have seen it. We have seen the face of God and his knowledge. We have seen it and bear witness by the seal of your faith. Bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. That eternal life. That means this is the real person, which was with the Father in his bosom here, and was manifested unto us, that is in this dimension. Our conscience now bears witness, because it agrees with this record now, by the purging of death from the conscience. The circumcision of Christ continues to remove the offense. We're putting distance by the high watermark. The watermark today will be higher tomorrow. The watermark tomorrow will be higher the next day, and so forth. That which we have seen and heard, Chief Elder John says here, that which we apostles have seen and learned of him, declare we unto you, the brethren, that you also may have fellowship. So I like the word fellowship there. Sanctified and joined. You're sanctified and joined to Christ through the stewardship. We declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. In other words, the cycle is now completed, the tether of eternal hope and our joy. Verse 4, okay, we'll conclude here. These things write we unto you, we apostles write to you, brethren, that your joy may be full, which means you'll be able to experience this power in the end reward of your faith. This then is a message. This is the true gospel of our experience. This is the message which we apostles have heard of him, which we gave ear to. We gave ear to this grace, which he taught us, and that's which we share with you. This then is a message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Okay, the power, this power is the illumination in which we walk in, which is a contradiction to the darkness and ignorance of this world. This is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. We share and preach that God is light. In him is no darkness at all, which means Satan has no part in him. He will not build by covenant faith, because Satan looks at covenant faith as an abomination. Satan looks at covenant faith as an abomination. He will refuse to build with that. And in fact, that's what Jesus said. The prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. Which means he cannot function with a pure conscience. He has nothing in me. And by these things, he cannot touch you. Because that's what Chief Elder John brings out. And the wicked one touches him not. Which means there's nothing within you, there's no substance within you that Satan can use for the purpose of robbing you of the testimony of Christ. Okay, so let's finish up here in verse 14. For you, brethren, became followers, here it is again. Paul brings it out, followers, as fellow servants. Okay, that is by this power, and by accepting our testimony, you are now bounding with Christ as being called to the assembly, and assembled by his Spirit. Okay, these things began in Jerusalem, but now continues with you now, at this present time in Thessalonica. You, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, where Chief Elder Peter is also at. The priesthood is being expressed, being embraced, and you're growing by. For you also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. They're working with a different priesthood, Satan. Okay, we're working with the priesthood of Christ, light. They're working with the priesthood of Satan, darkness. Okay, so the fruit is known by the tree that it's engrafted into. If the fruit possesses and communicates ignorance, rebellion, contradiction, defilement, and that means always repenting, that's because it's engrafted into the tree of death. Okay, but if it's progressing and is growing in grace, possessing those fruits of the kingdom, and his charity is pure, the conscience is also purified by faith, then you're engrafted in the true vine. Okay, that which is the stewardship which God has sanctified.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.